Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Thank you.
So we're going to sing now a song called Blessed Assurance. And it's one of my favorites, specifically because it has this one line called Lost in His Love. And I love it so much for two reasons. First, because it gives an image of God's love being so vast and just so expansive that we get lost in it, that it's so big, that it encompasses us like a big ocean or a large forest. And second, because I think it gives this image that in His love, in God's love, we are lost. We don't know the way out. We don't know the way forward. And for someone like me, who loves knowing the next step, who loves knowing where I'm supposed to be in X amount of steps, it kind of scares me. I don't want to be lost in His love. I'd rather, much rather, be found in His love. So we're going to sing this song again. And I invite you to fall a little bit deeper into God's love. I invite you to surrender just a little more. To be lost in His vast, expansive, wondrous love. Let's sing.
And blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Looking up by faith.
Thank you, music team, for once again leading us in worship so beautifully. Happy New Year, New Life Church. Welcome to a shiny, sparkly new year that is not 2020. We are looking forward to what surprises God has in store for New Life in 2021. The past year was definitely full of the unexpected. All we really know is that God will be there for us as He always is. Our names are Peter and Terry Kingma. We will be your hosts for this service.
Now that the new year is here, we can look forward to when we return to live in-person worship services. On January the 8th, we will get the next update on regulations for large gatherings and events. This will help us determine if and when we can start meeting together on Sundays and during the week in the church. Until then, all of our ministry schedules will remain suspended, and we will continue with our pre-recorded worship services. Thank you, New Life Church, for your continued patience and faithfulness in gathering together virtually.
Today's offering is for New Life Ministries. New Life Church has been running ministries in many creative ways during these times of social distancing. Our life groups have been meeting over Zoom. The young adults and youth have been enjoying virtual game nights. Many gifts and Christmas cards were dropped off during the holiday season. As you can see on the screen, we have numerous ways to give. Check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in praying for the offering. Dear Lord, we know it's been difficult for especially the people involved in New Life Ministries over these last 10 months. We thank you for the leadership they have shown in difficult times. We thank you for the impact their ministries still have had in so many lives. And we ask you to continue to encourage them until this time of doing things this way is over and we can meet each other again in person. We thank you for their commitment to being willing to do things differently. We ask you that everything that is done may still impact lives, that people who are still living in darkness may still find the light of salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for our ministries, for the commitment of everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is our special time for our children. Here at New Life, we start a new kids series every month, and this month it's called Pixel Party. That's a bit of a tongue twister. You can't say that too quickly. Each week, you will hear stories from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about life-changing encounters with Jesus that show us his incredible love. Pastor Sam has a video and a fun activity sheet ready for you. These can be found in the video description or on our website. There are reflection prompts at the end that will allow your family to dig deeper into the lesson. So go ahead and pause this video right now and get your kids set up to watch their own video. When you return, we will join with Pastor Nathan.
All right, well, good morning. It's great to be with you again, and Happy New Year. Indeed, a Happy New Year to all of you. And I suspect that we have all entered into this new year a little bit more cautiously than we entered into 2020. Indeed, all of our life has been so restricted in the past 10 months that we've had to temper our usual expectations and perhaps even our usual plans that we would have made for the year ahead have been all but eliminated. And yet, in that context, I want to talk to you this morning about living free. Even with lingering limitations on how we can live our lives, We are free. Yes, free to live fully in the salvation of our God. Free. Free to live in Christ-likeness. Free to become more like Christ, who is our freedom. In his book on the fruit of the Spirit, Christopher Wright begins with this prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then Christopher Wright continues in the beginning of his book. He says, that was the prayer that John Stott prayed every day when he first woke up in the morning. It hardly seems surprising then that many people who knew John Stott personally said that he was the most Christ-like person they had ever met. For God answered his daily prayer by making the fruit of the Spirit ripen in his life. And so through the month of January and February of this year, we're going to examine these nine virtues that Paul in Galatians chapter 5 calls the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He calls them the fruit of the Spirit. And our aim then in this series will be to more fully take on Christ-likeness in the manner that John Stott, a well-known theologian, preacher, and scholar, became known for. Died just back in 2011. But he was known to be the most Christ-like person. Perhaps because of that prayer, to constantly pray that God would ripen the fruit of the Spirit within. And so that will be our endeavor in this series, to live more freely in Christ-likeness. And the first virtue then in that fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the first virtue listed. And elsewhere, Paul speaks of love in supreme language, in superlative language. Listen to this. It's perhaps familiar to you. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the word of the Lord. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patience. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And then towards the end of the chapter, Paul adds, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Indeed, Love is a spectacular thing. And it's nice to have a chapter like that in the Bible to name the supremacy of love, that love is the greatest thing. It's wonderful to have this chapter to highlight how spectacular love is. And, well, it seems to inject some sense into an otherwise hectic life. And so we read, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. Yes, in the midst of all of our wrangling in life, love is those kinds of things. To read a chapter like this in 1 Corinthians 13 offers help even in coping with the cruelties of the world. Love, Paul reminds us, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And then, of course, what bridal couple wouldn't want to hear the words of 1 Corinthians 13 to begin their married life? Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And in a world where so much is just passing away, there is indeed that comfort to know that love never fails. What a great chapter. It's a champion of things said in the Bible. Love is spectacular, and it sums up the meaning of life. It's the greatest. But love as the greatest thing isn't just a chapter in the Bible. There's some spectacular stories of love as well. For instance, there's the story of Bruce Olson, who, some decades ago now, he's now in his 80s, but Bruce Olson was a missionary from Minnesota, and he evangelized among the Motolon Indians of Colombia in South America. And during his time there, he was kidnapped by guerrilla soldiers to convince the Indians of the worth of their cause. But Bruce would not comply with their demands. And so the soldiers began torturing Bruce, but this only inspired Bruce to show them the love of Christ. And so when Bruce observed that many of the practices of the soldiers were unhygienic and causing disease, Bruce spoke with the camp officer about the matter, and overnight the soldiers changed their habits and they became healthier. Bruce also taught the camp cooks some healthier recipes, and he even helped to cook for the soldiers, his captors. He helped illiterate soldiers write love letters to their girlfriends. That was some pretty incredible love. And then yet, even after months of imprisonment and torture, Bruce was told that he would be killed. And so he was one day backed up against a wall. 18 soldiers aimed their submachine guns at him, and some of the soldiers were even crying, but on command, they all fired, and nothing happened. Someone had filled all of the guns with blanks. It was a last-ditch attempt to force Bruce to change his mind, but he didn't. But because of the love that Bruce had expressed to his captors, Bruce was saved. Yes, indeed, love, we say, conquers all. And yet the truth is that most of us, even though love is spectacular, most of us are not these kind of spectacular people. We're ordinary persons, simply trying to get by, trying to get along. And if 1 Corinthians 13 is God's love song, as Lewis Smedes suggests, then our challenge is to find ways to bring the heavenly rhapsody, Smedes writes, to bring the heavenly rhapsody down into our own worldly realities. And indeed, they are quite ordinary realities, for sure. Sometimes filled with anger, sometimes filled with boring routines, sometimes filled with downright nastiness. Quite simply, as much as we recognize the beauty of a chapter like 1 Corinthians 13 and all of the beautiful, spectacular language that describes how great love is, it's not terribly hard to give up on this most prized virtue of love. Because in our ordinary, everyday kinds of lives, with so much going on and so much conflicting with our desires, love simply gets in the way. 6-year-old Jill wrote, "I'm in favor of love as long as it doesn't happen when Dragons is on television." Or 9-year-old Floyd. He wrote, "Love is foolish, but I still might try it sometime." Dave is 8 years old. He wisely observed, "Love will find you even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me." And Regina. Regina's 10 years old. She wisely observed, "I'm not rushing into being in love. I'm finding fourth grade hard enough." Well, okay, those are the musings of some kids, you say, but they hold a fair bit of truth, I suspect, in our daily lives, no matter what age we are. In the daily routine of our lives, love gets in the way of our heart's desires and of the things that we want, or in the ways that we automatically seemingly react. Like Jill, I'm in favor of love too, as long as showing it doesn't cost me my free time or my rights or my freedom or my happiness. And when someone cuts me off in traffic, I don't want to show them love. I want to make their travels more miserable than they already might be. When I was a parent of little kids, I didn't want to love when my child misbehaved. I just wanted to yell and set them straight. Or like Dave, I'd much rather hide from love, especially when I feel bad about the way I've behaved. I'd rather set out to prove that I'm not so bad after all. To try to earn people's love for me. To try to gain that self-respect. The problem is, of course, that earned love usually isn't love at all. Love seeks you when you are a runaway. Love gives you a hug when you don't even deserve it. Love accepts you even when you behave unacceptably. That's love. Yet I'm still found often running from love. Do you think Regina was just being cute when she thought love better wait till she was done with grade 4? I know people who continue to run away from love until they're done getting ahead in life. Yes, it's not just fourth grade that's hard. Life is pretty tough too. And it's hard to find the time to love when we're slowly making our way, trying to get ahead and having a hard time of it. Yes, love might be spectacular, but it often gets in the way of living our lives, at least living them the way we want to. And so love can look like an impossibility when we approach it like a performance. When we simply look at our loving and say, okay, I've got to do it this way and that way. Because most of the time, I suspect we let our living shape our loving. We let the circumstances of our life determine whether we love or not. So, for instance, we place our wants and our desires ahead of loving, even though the Bible says love does not envy. Or we prioritize proving ourselves to be pretty good rather than accepting others simply in love, even though the Bible says love doesn't boast. And as long as we're happy, we'll delight with others in love. Sure, no problem. Even though the Bible warns that love is not self-seeking. When living shapes our loving, love easily gets crowded out, pushed aside, or even just simply shrivels up because it gives way to other pressures. Or it gives way to bad habits, or simply it gives way to selfishness. And so in Corinth, some Christians found themselves with amazing gifts for ministry. Some could teach really well. Others could do healings. And others were living pictures of faith. And still others could speak in tongues, which they thought was the language of heaven. And these were all fine things. But the problem was that these Christians let their living shape their loving. They thought their demonstration of gifts displayed spectacular love. Of course, those without such fabulous gifts were regarded as lower, not quite measuring up. In fact, they were regarded without any kind of love. And so Paul says, if I can do great things but have not love, well, then it amounts to nothing. So like them, we too busy ourselves with all kinds of good things, and we're impressed by our involvement with church programs or with community efforts, and our attendance at worship services, or our willingness to volunteer time and effort, our generosity with money, our overall exemplary behavior. We're impressed with those things. And yet those things are hard to knock, because they're all good things in and of themselves. They look impressive. They make us feel good about ourselves. They give us the sense that we've cornered love. But it really isn't love. Why? Well, because love isn't about our performance. Love isn't about how we behave. Perhaps following the Apostle Paul, we should let loving shape our living rather than the other way around. And then our love won't be so superficial as to collapse when the pressure is on. When living gets hard, loving is one of the first things we let go. And yet, if love shapes our living, then it can endure. Because then it's not such a huge and difficult performance so much as it is a living out from within, from our heart, from the shape of our heart. And how do we get our hearts to be shaped by love? By the very gift of God that we've just celebrated at Christmas time. Such love, a love that is gifted to us by God Himself, such love dwells in the center of our lives and penetrates deep into our soul, permeates far into our lives, far into all of the behaviors, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And that kind of love can sustain us in the midst of chaos, It can calm us in the midst of nastiness. It can heal the brokenness that surrounds us. Such love has the power to endure all of the sinful disruptions that we experience. And it has the power because it is a love from God Himself, an almighty God, an all-powerful God. And that means that Paul's list of descriptive words, as impressive as they are about what love is and what love isn't, is not merely a checklist for us to try and achieve. But if love is a gift from God, then that love that he's talking about is a love that is already within us, already present among us. It's not something we need to achieve so much as it is a love that we need to receive. It's a love that was perfectly exhibited in Jesus Christ as he brings it into our world. And now it works towards perfection in all who confess Jesus as the master of their life. So love, yes, love is the greatest, and it's spectacular, but not because we can perform spectacular love, but because it has this kind of permanence over all the tentative things of this world, our material things, but also even our great accomplishments, or our best deeds, or our most intelligent discoveries, all of which pass by. But of all the things that appear important in our lives, our Christian love, a love that is gifted to us by God Himself, God who is love, is the only thing which is everlasting and eternal. All else will fade away or be transformed. But love will remain. That's why Paul says love is the greatest. Not because it feels the best. Not because it's going to make us the most happy. Not because it's going to give us the most satisfaction. But love persists and never fails. Yes, even beyond faith and hope. Because love is of God. Receive his gift. Take it into your life, no matter your circumstances, no matter the shape of your life, no matter the shape of your surroundings, no matter what 2021 might bring. Receive the love of God and live in that kind of freedom. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. A love that you revealed throughout the pages of Scripture, and a love that you revealed most fully in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for the freedom that he has accomplished for us, and a love that he's demonstrated in giving his own life for us, and a love that you have gifted to us. And so help us to receive it today. Help us to receive that love, even though perhaps in our own minds we're convinced that we don't deserve it, or perhaps in our own minds we've persuaded ourselves that we must earn it. Yet, God, we pray that as we extend our hands, that can simply receive your love and let it infiltrate our lives. Let it infiltrate our attitudes. Let it infiltrate our emotion. Let it infiltrate all of our hopes and dreams for 2021. And so, Father, we pray that you will fill us so with love that this coming year, in all of our living and in all of our actions and in all of our ambitions, that we can celebrate your love and celebrate it in freedom, despite whatever restrictions we live with, no matter what circumstances might bind us. Yet, God, we rejoice because we are free in your love. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we devote our lives to you in love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Yes, indeed. Go into this new week and into this new year with confidence and great joy in the love of God that endures through all eternity, forever and ever. May you live in that love. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace.
Into the night.
Hallelujah. What a beautiful hope we have in Jesus. Pastor Nathan kicked off the new year with a brand new series about the fruit of the Spirit called Free. And today he talked about love and how it's a free gift from God and our job is to receive it. God bless you as you go into this week and this new year. Happy New Year.